You're listening to The Naked Scientists with me, Greer Jackson. Now, bacteria is one thing though, but what about intelligent life? Jim Al-Khalili again.
Well, one way is to point our radio telescopes to listen out for signals from space. After all, we've been broadcasting our presence into the universe just ever since we invented radio and television 100 years ago. So whether it's an accidental or a deliberate signal from any alien civilization, we're listening out for those signals. So this is what SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, is all about. But that's looking for life that has advanced enough to become technologically able to send out signals.
How probable is it then that there is a technologically able civilization that can send out a signal? Well, an American astronomer called Frank Drake had a valiant stab at developing an equation that might inform us how likely or unlikely intelligent life is. Patrick Short, a PhD student at the Sanger Institute, took me through it in a local park.
He didn't intend it to really be his legacy or to be sort of the thing that he was remembered for. It was basically intended to drum up conversation at a conference. And the idea was basically to sort of try to put a rough back-of-the-envelope calculation on what is the probability that we find life somewhere in our galaxy.
At this stage, I think it would be a really good idea to go through Drake's equation to sort of understand a bit more about what these sort of limitations are there. So what is the first item in the equation?
Yeah, so the first item in the equation is the rate of star formation in the galaxy. So they express this in terms of number of stars per year. So the Milky Way is about 13 billion years old, and Drake puts his first estimate at one star per year. So that's the first step.
Okay, so 13 billion. Let's write that down.
Yeah. So this would be N star, I guess.
Okay. What next?
So next is what proportion of these stars have planets around them. So not all stars have planets. And Drake put this at somewhere between 1/5 and 1/2. And then we've also got the number of planets per star. So given that it's got a planet, how many does it have in general? And he puts this at somewhere between 1 and 5. Given that you've got a star that's got planets, we'll assume conservatively that it's got one planet, and we'll assume aggressively that it's got 5 habitable planets per star.
And when we're talking habitable, we mean the right sort of temperature,
yeah, temperature.
It's got an atmosphere,
exactly.
It doesn't spin too fast or spin too slowly, all these types of things that are needed for life.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Next term.
So we've got number of stars, and then how many habitable planets around those stars. So what's next after that?
Then we've got the probability that a habitable planet will result in life. So I guess you can consider it sort of the probability that, given all the right conditions defined by habitable planet, that life will arise on that planet. And Drake puts that at 1, so he's quite an optimist. He says, if we've got a star with a habitable planet, then life will arise on that planet. And then this follows quite closely by the second term, which is the probability that that life will develop into intelligent life, which Drake also puts at 1. So he thinks that it's inevitable that if life is created, it follows to intelligent lives.
After this, there's still more, isn't there?
Yeah, so there's then the probability that they develop communication skills. So Drake was specifically interested in looking for civilizations that would have made contact with us or that we could make contact with. And he puts their probability of developing communications at between 1/10 and 1/5, so 0.1 and 0.2.
Okay, communications, surely that's the final one.
No, so we've actually got one more. So Drake has factored in exactly how long these communications will last. So we've been doing our search for extraterrestrial intelligence listening, not broadcasting, but only for a few decades. So he places his lower bound and his upper bound on between somewhere between 1,000 and 100 million years.
Okay. So if we take this equation and we do the conservative estimate, what do we get?
Yeah, so the conservative estimate, which is 13 billion stars, 1/5 of which have planets, one of which is habitable, in which we develop life 100% of the time, intelligent life another 100% of the time. 10% of the time, they develop communication tools, and they only use these communication tools for 1,000 years. Then Drake estimates that we would actually have only about 20 habitable planets in our galaxy, which is the Milky Way.
That doesn't seem like very many. What about on the other end of the spectrum?
Yes, on the other end of the spectrum, if you want to go with Drake's sort of most optimistic estimates, then Drake arrives at a maximum of 50 million intelligent species within our galaxy. And again, that's just within the Milky Way. So we've got another 100 billion of these galaxies out there. So even if we pick Drake's low assessment, which is 20, then we've got on the order of 2 trillion intelligent species that we could get in contact with.
I mean, that sounds incredibly high. So why the heck have we not been able to make contact with any of these civilizations, or indeed they make contact with us?
Yeah, so that opens up a whole other famous chapter of physics history. So this question was asked by Enrico Fermi. So he's a physicist, and I think the exact terminology he uses, if this is the case, then where is everybody? And his point being that if we accept that somewhere between this conservative and aggressive estimate of the amount of life out there, that surely either we should have heard somebody detected something, or had somebody get in contact with us. And especially sort of the extra layer of evidence is that we're actually somewhat young in terms of the history of the universe, right? So if we can imagine our society fast-forwarding just a few hundred million years, then we should most certainly be able to colonize the galaxy and do sort of all these sort of intergalactic travels and certainly communication. But the fact of the matter is we haven't heard from anybody. And so the paradox here is if we can accept that the universe is teeming with life, then what are the possible explanations for why we haven't heard from anybody?
Jim Al-Khalili thinks the answer lies in the sheer size of the universe.
Despite searching for so many decades, we are only sampling a tiny, tiny fraction of what is out there. After all, we're only looking towards star systems that are close enough to us, you know, 100 or so, or light years away or nearer. That's only our little neighbourhood within the Milky Way galaxy. Just because we may never find evidence of life elsewhere doesn't mean there isn't life elsewhere. I mean, just from the laws of probability, the universe is big enough that it must be teeming with life. It's just whether there's anything close enough to us but has evolved and become sentient and developed civilizations and developed technology, enabling it to send signals out to us. So there are lots of steps along the way that would explain why we've heard nothing yet.